Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to the Matthew James Medium Hour. Well, it's actually the Matthew James medium 90 minutes, or Matthew James medium hour and a half. On tonight's show, I've actually got two absolutely phenomenal guests. Two ladies that actually need no introduction here in Australia, in the cyclist industry over here. Two phenomenal ladies of presence, of stature, of ability. One we've actually had on the show many times before, and that is the fantastic miracle coach, Maria Alita. Maria is going to be on the show with us. And the other guest is the phenomenal Reen Barracks, all the way from Melbourne, who is a medium, a clairvoyant, an alchemist, a spiritual teacher. Now, the plan was to actually have three of us on the show at the same time, but the Skype link seems to be pretty poor, so you're going to actually have to bear with us on this. I might actually be having one person on at a time and interviewing them and talking to them individually, but we shall see. This is live radio. This is Matthew James. I do have my own website for anybody who doesn't know who I am, or anybody who's interested in readings with me. My website is www.matthewjamesmedium.com. And I do actually have a policy there of distance is no object to anybody who does want a reading with me on that website. I do Skype, I do phone readings. I do various other types of readings. Now, without further ado, I'm just going to try this Skype connection. Are you there, ladies? Are you there, Reen? Fantastic. Are you there, Maria? Fantastic. The wonders of modern technology. Here we are, one person in Canberra, one person in Melbourne, and one person in Brisbane, all talking together at the same time. It is. How are you, ladies? How are you, Maria? How are you, Reen? Excellent. And how have you been, Reen? Fantastic. Now, have you ladies actually physically met each other? Right, one big question for you two. Now, I'm presenting us a little bit as a bit of a spiritual forum, or a forum of psychic experts or spiritual experts. What are we going to talk about? We've got about 1 hour 21 minutes here of talk. What are we going to talk about? I've not got a script here. I mean, I've done it quite deliberately. What should we talk about? Oh, I'm actually going to swear. What? No, that's bollocks. I don't want to talk about me. It's my radio show. I've got people on to talk about other things. I can talk about myself all I want on a show on my own. Cut you in there, Maria, and let me say I was actually dead. That's right, and I spent 9 weeks to 12 weeks in hospital in the twilight zone in between the two worlds. Well, we can do. I mean, one of my many titles, and I regret having titles, but you got to have titles in this industry, is actually a Celtic shaman. And what I did actually have in hospital was a very shamanic experience, because I was actually doing my own soul retrieval. It is when you actually come back and you realize the personality that you actually had or was having that actually caused the illness. Well, yeah, I mean, because you know, as a healer, Maria, that obviously the pancreas, which is where the most of my problem was, is the fear center. It's where we hold all the fears. And if we don't let go of the fears, the pancreas gets to a point where spiritually, emotionally, it can't actually cope with all that pain and that fear anymore, especially when it's somebody else's. That's right. Now, Reen, I want to bring you in on this because I don't want to leave either of you out. I just want to get us to just all join in with all our own thoughts and feelings. You do healing work as well, don't you, Reen? What's your experiences with the pancreas or people with pancreas problems? That's correct. Now, just a couple of things. I just had a little note thrust in my face by my co-producer here, my wonderful wife, Chris, that apparently a lot of mediums have actually had get pancreatitis, which is no surprise at all. It's very true. Here's things. I'm going to throw this into the pot, right? This is what I believe has caused my pancreatitis, and it is about a past life. It's about a past life regression that I did, and I actually tapped into a personality that was very much shamanic, very much into the Odinism, very much into following Odin. And for people, for listeners who don't know much about the Odinism, Odin was the father of the Aesir gods, the Nordic gods. He invented the runes, and his particular sacrifice, his particular shamanic, let's say, expertise, he actually went on the world tree, I believe, for I think it was either 9 days or 14 days, and he hung himself from the world tree, Yggdrasil, which was an oak tree. And not only did he do that, but he also pierced his side with his sword. Now, interestingly, this is where my pancreatitis comes in. I only realized it when I'd actually had a pancreatic drain, and I actually ended up with a tube through my abdomen, and I ended up with a scar on my left-hand side. Did I realize that that scar is like a past life scar? And if I was to insert, not that I'm going to do it in this life, a sword into my left side and push it into my abdomen at the angle, what organ do you think that would get hit by the edge of the sword? Exactly. So if I'd been Odinism, and I've been very much into Odinism in a past life, I would have physically hung from a tree and I would have physically stabbed myself. Now, in those days, there wouldn't have been any precision engineering. You would have stabbed that knife, that sword in. Who's to say in that life I damaged my pancreas? And by actually bringing that incarnate through, or that memory through, or that soul fragment through, I gave myself pancreatitis. Apparently, we're having problem with it with the sound here. There's only me that can be being heard, so I can't actually understand that because this is the way that it's set up that you actually bring people in. But we'll continue anyway because I mean there's going to be somebody hearing us surely. I mean I'm just hearing people saying that they can't hear you two. I don't understand why. You are actually in on my host link. So, I mean, the worst comes to the worst, I'll have to get you to come in on Skype. But what experience? I mean, like with you, Maria, have you got anything that you feel has come through in a past life? Reen, do you think you've got anything that's come through in a past life? Yeah, that is correct. I mean, with me, I've got a real issue with having anything around my wrists. And I've sort of isolated, or I've accepted that obviously I've been a prisoner, I've been some kind of captive for a past life, and it must have been something traumatic because I still have that memory. I do not like having my sleeves and my shirt fastened around my wrist for a prolonged length of time because it's so painful. That's all I can say. It's painful when it can't be painful. I don't know what's happening with the show here. There's a lot of people saying that you guys can't be heard. But I did a show with Mike Davis. I jumped in at yesterday into his show and took over. And I mean, it worked fine then. He always brings his guests in this way. So I don't understand what the issue is here. Why you can't be heard, ladies? So what I think I'm going to do at this point, right, is I'm going to put a piece of music on, right? I'm going to do a little bit of an experiment where I'm going to bring one person in, right? It could be. It might have been a past life. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a piece of music on. I'm then going to bump you two out, and then I'm going to bring one of you in, and I'm going to try it that way. I'm going to get reactions from obviously people on Facebook, and I'm going to try it. If there is a problem with it, then we just have to hope that it's being recorded, that people can listen afterwards and catch the whole gist of the show. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to do a music break. I'm going to bump people off. I'm going to bring one in, and I'm just going to try an experiment. You are listening to the Matthew James 1.5 hour medium show. I will be back shortly. Just hang on a second, please. I'm just going to say to people out there, can everybody hear both me and Reen? Say hello, Reen. So this is the Matthew James Medium 1.5 hour show, and Reen Barracks is on at the moment, and I want to hear from people if they can hear both of us. We were talking about past lives, you're right. No. No, apparently this isn't working either because somebody just said no, you can't be heard. So I don't honestly know what the issue is. So what I'm actually going to say to you, Reen, is can you try what we did on the last show? Can you jump out? Right. And the little blue button to actually Skype in as a guest, can you do that? Right, I'm going to say the same thing to Maria and see if Maria can actually come in as well as a guest and see if I can do it that way. So sorry about this, everybody, but it's just live radio. I'll just bring Maria in and see if she can be heard. Maria, what I would like you to do know on the actual screen, on the actual radio link, you'll find a little blue. There is a little blue Skype button, right? It says Skype. Can you try and come in on that little Skype button? It'll follow a link in, and I'll pick you both up on the switchboard, and I'm going to do it that way. No, what you do is I'll call you out, and I'll knock you out now. If you go onto the Blog Talk Radio page, the page where my obviously the show is, and there'll be a little button that will bring you in onto the switchboard, and I'll try and pick you guys up from there. So sorry about that, Maria. So we are having a little bit of technical difficulties. We were talking about reincarnation traits. Me, Maria, and Rin, where there is a cellular memory. There's a cellular memory, and we really don't understand the mechanism, but it's quite possible that within the cellular memory, within the soul memory, that we might carry through, for example, a fear of being burnt at the stake, or a fear of being in a car, say driving down a mountain road, because in a past life we might have come off the mountain road and we might have had a serious accident, and we might actually have that in our cellular memory. So when we come to a certain point in our life where we're on a high mountain road, we suddenly go, ah, last incarnation, I know what happened here. So that's why we have the fear. This is the type of thing we were actually discussing. I'm just waiting for signs in the switchboard for either Maria or Reen to appear. I'm quite incredulous that we've got these issues, because I did actually go on the radio with Mike Davis, the founder of Mike Spirit FM, yesterday, and we actually did this method, and it worked absolutely fine. So all I can say is it's Blog Talk Radio for you. Now, I will continue with the song that we were listening to before. We will take a music break. If the ladies are unable to come in, you've got me for about an hour, and I will start talking about topics. So I will put Wither by Dream Theatre on for about 5 minutes. In that time, I'm hoping that the ladies will come in on the switchboard.
Staring down, staring down.
Hello, Maria Release, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
I'm sure everybody will be able to hear you now because you've come in as one of the guests. I just know that Reen's not around yet, so we will continue with our conversation, or we will reiterate our conversation anyway. We were talking about, obviously, the causes of pancreatitis. We were talking about the it being the pain center. We were talking about cellular memory and possibilities about past lives, bringing these illnesses and fears into the current life pattern, weren't we, Maria?
Yeah, and as you know, but some of your guests might not know, I have a crystal bed. So a crystal bed that I, brought through Channel 3 many years ago. So for at least 10 years plus, I've done a lot of energy healings, experiences, whatever you want to call them, and intuitive healing, right? And what I've learned from doing that for a very long time, from the metaphysical sort of, metaphysician type of work that we do, it is often a lot of people are stuck on what means from the nutrition side of things or just from the natural, like health side of things. But a lot of times, I'd like to say most times, a lot of our ailments are actually not even connected just to the body. We have to look beyond the body. And the cellular, we have cellular memory of everything that ever was and ever will be. And there are things that pop up through these, energetic healings, through these sessions that people like myself do. Of course, I'm not the only one in the world that's ever done them. And we get to see things beyond the physical. And there may be absolutely past life memory or dimensional life memory that's come along that you can feel and sense that is like a block or an issue that is now arising in this lifetime, like your pancreas and all the stuff that was happening for you, that is triggering something right now, either to move karmically forward from it, or actually to get rid of it and dispel in this lifetime.
That's correct. I mean, it certainly opened my eyes up that 2 weeks prior to my pancreatic attack, I'd done a past life regression, or I'd been put through a past life regression. And this very character that was very much into Odin and very much into the shamanism and was very much part of that era and had pierced his side with a sword, I happened 2 weeks later to have this pancreas thing going on. So it's more than coincidence, and it's more in coincidence that I also remember incarnations where I've been cuffed, I've been handcuffed, I have been fastened with ropes and chains around my wrists, and even now, I mean, I've got my long sleeve shirt sleeves rolled up. I absolutely hate things around my wrists, and I'm sure there are a lot of other people out there who have got the same sort of feeling. It's just, it can describe it as when the actual sleeve of the wrist touches a certain area on the wrist, you've got this instant fear. I can't describe it. It's a fear. You've got to get it off your wrist.
Yep. And look, I'll tell you something. Remember, I went on the cruise in the beginning of the year, and it was the first time I've been on a boat my whole life, but I'd never been on a cruise ship out right in the middle. And I went on a cruise, and on the first night, I'm a very much. I was having an absolute anxiety panic attack, and all I said to my partner at the time was, I feel like I'm dying. And so, and I was talking about later, I had influenza A, I was in hospital, and I nearly died back then. And I had this massive thing happen that happened immediately, had those issues. So you can see how this all comes up together at the right time, doesn't it?
That's right. You are breaking up a little bit, but I mean, we can't do much about that. Some people are just saying that your sound's breaking up a little bit, but it is, again, it's live radio. It all depends on the internet band. You're still with me, Maria?
Yes, I am.
Right. I mean, I had a recent experience. We've gone to the quarantine station, or the queue station at Manly in Sydney here in New South Wales. I'm walking around some of the hospital wards, around the showers, down the quayside, and I had this horrible, ominous feeling of all I can describe was familiarity.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry, Maria.
You have to go with that. When that familiar feeling happens, all you do is go with that because you know it's true.
Well, that's right. I mean, I know I walked into the hospital ward, and immediately on my left arm there was the pain of actually like the hypodermic needle going into my arm. And I know I was with Anne of ESP, that's Eastern State Paranormal Society. She actually kind of led us round. And if you're listening, Anne, hi, thanks for that day. It was great to actually get to go around the queue station, thanks to you. She did actually say that a lot of people walk in there and do actually get the hypodermic needle on the left hand, on the left arm, because of the nurse who's in there. But it was absolutely freaky weird for me, because it was like, I mean, all I can say was, I must have been at Q Station in a previous incarnation. I must have landed from the United Kingdom. I must have got off the boat. I must have gone into quarantine, and I must have perished there because it was so familiar and so scary and so eerie. And I can't explain it. I wasn't being overshadowed. I wasn't doing mediumship. I wasn't tapping into somebody there. All I can say is it was a very strong personal experience, because I looked from the quay across to Manly at the other side of the bay, and there was obviously no buildings there. It was just hillside. It was weird. Mm. I almost did a tight slip.
Mm. And it happens, I think, a lot of people don't understand what's going on, and they might just be in the middle of it, and they might just, you know, just go, oh, that's just weird. But as soon as you say, that's just weird, that's when you should open your eyes a little bit more and accept something is actually happening, and it can be a cellular remembrance. You can be tapping into something on a metaphysical level or like an intuitive level. These types of things happen regularly to people, but we're not taught to acknowledge them, and we're definitely not taught to see beyond what we physically see. We're actually told not to do that. So I think it's really important that people be aware that there's a lot more going on in this world than what we're just seeing.
That is correct. I know I was reading, somebody put a link up about it's actually on my public figure page, about a boy who, he could actually prove his past life. And what it basically was he was an American pilot. I don't know if you read it on Facebook anywhere, Maria. And what it was,
no.
He kept telling his parents that he was a fighter, that he'd gone down in the water. He was able to actually come up with the name and the place and where he died. And he came up with his name and his family name, et cetera, et cetera. They traced that family name, and there was indeed a guy of the name that he actually gave. There was actually a guy of the name that he actually gave. Plus the family names, he was indeed the brother. He was indeed the brother.
Well, do you know, I'll tell you something. This has happened in my own family. So my nephew, which is my sister Christina's son, my nephew, when he was very young, probably 2 or 3 years of age, and I'm seeing Lily, who's on your blog talk radio, she's talking about this with her young child, having speaking a different language, and she's realizing he's actually speaking in a different language, and someone else brings this to her attention. But my nephew, he told my sister, very, very young, you're not my mother. You need to know I died. My mother's black. You know, obviously we're white. My mother is black, and we died in a fire, and my mother is here with me now, but you're not my mother. And you could imagine, as a mother, and your three-year-old telling you this, how you would feel. You think the kid's going nuts. But he could describe where, when, how, everything that had happened to him. And I sort of like she didn't know what was going on. And I don't know if it's because of the way his daughter has come back so quickly or whatever it is, but to hold so tight to that memory and be so specific to the child, just amazing to see that happen.
Yeah, I know. It's fantastic. I mean, I've read some reports, and I mean, skeptics. There are skeptics out there who want absolute scientific proof of the afterlife. They want absolute scientific proof of other mediums. They want absolute scientific proof of. They won't believe in future predictions. They want us to be linked to James Randi. And if you win the $1 million with James Randi, then maybe you are a psychic. There's all that out there. I mean, it's unbelievable. I know I've got the Hall of Fame. I know I'm on one of the sites. I'm absolutely honoured to be on one of these. I'm a fake psychic site. I'm proud of it because I'm up there with Lisa Williams. I'm up there with John Edwards. I'm up there with Derek Okora. I'm up there with Colin Fry. I'm up there with all those names on this site. And what people don't realise is that, hey, any advertising is good advertising, isn't it, Maria?
Yeah, and you know what, because it's just that they don't understand what we do or the process we do. Now, and we both know there's a lot of fakes out there, a lot of fakers, and a lot of people who are pretending that they've, you know, got heart and soul in this industry, which they don't, and we do understand that. But then when you're, I just feel
you mean,
like
you mean
people
heart, soul and spirit in the industry, don't you?
Yeah, like they feel like they can project that out there, but you know that at the end of the day that there's, you know, it may not be what it appears to be. There are a lot of fakers out there, a lot of pretenders out there, Matthew. And I think what's really
That's
important
right.
is that, you know, what you find for us is that you see the people who've been in there the long haul. As you've just said, you've made a big list of people and you're proud to be part of those people. Awesome, because usually those people have been around for a lot of years and are still doing the work. It's the haters or the shamers and all those people that do that kind of stuff. I always sort of look at them and I go, it's just that you don't understand. You know, the reason
That's
they
correct.
Drag
I mean.
You down is they don't understand. But, you know, I don't understand someone who speaks a different language to me. Does that mean that that person is wrong? No,
well,
it's just a different
right.
process.
That's
Yeah,
That's
and so
right.
this
I mean,
is what we do.
Yeah, and on the theme of reincarnation and past lives, I mean, there's a lot of credible evidence out there. I mean, there's a psychologist, Brian Wise, in America, yeah. I know, who has done a lot of the research, and he's virtually proven past lives because he's able to obviously trace names and times and everything, and the information's all stacked up. But to the poor unsuspecting person out there, when somebody says they do a past life regression or they do past life, and you go to this person for a reading, and you get things like, you've got to avoid your father because he killed you in your past life. But I love my father. Oh, you've got to be careful of your father because he killed you in a past life. One, that's very damaging, and two, where is the proof of it?
Yeah, look, and that's part of the, you know, I suppose our journeys is that sometimes we run into these people. I think, you know, I always say even just in a reading or even in a coaching session that I do, let alone a healing session, it has to resonate with the person. And sometimes things may come through and it doesn't resonate with that person at all. Maybe, you know, like a good psychic or medium or healer would actually say, you know, if it's not resonating with you, maybe I'm misreading this, or maybe it's just not for you right now. But there is definitely some people, yeah. It's more damage than good. But on the flip side as well, there are some people that use that for their gain. So they might say, hey, I'm connecting to you. We've got a strong past life connection. You must have been my lover in a past life. We're going to be lovers in this life, you know, that sort of stuff. Or you were my sister, so
yeah.
we have to be
I mean,
together
can,
in this
how
life.
How can you prove any of it? I mean, it's a scenario. It's a black area, a grey area in the industry. Which, yeah, there are frauds. There are genuine people who do past lives. We do know that past lives do exist because there is scientific proof. But it is just one of this. particularly grey area where people are saying, right, you were an Egyptian goddess in a past life. You were a Native American in a past life. You were this, you were this, you were this. The person goes tootling off with that information, good or bad, and they're unsuspectingly like parted with $500 or $2,000 or whatever the prices are. I mean, it's, I don't know, I'm just gobsmacked with the unregulated, let's say the unregulated part of the industry that allows people to do this.
Yeah, I think it look, to me, when it comes to past life regression, I call it progression, like we're moving forward from it. But the way I see it is it has to resonate. Like, I'm someone that just wouldn't sit in front of a psychic anyway, and that psychic tells me things and I would accept everything that they said is true. I'm someone who's more skeptical to the whole process, even though I do it. But even in the healing, whatever's going on in the healing, I have to feel it and really, you know, in that space, have a knowing that whatever's going on is actually working for me or whatever. If I don't get that, I wouldn't say that's wrong. It's not what's flowing for me. And I think as a client, and like your clients, my clients, everyone, we need to take responsibility. Why are you going to someone? Is it to fix you? Or is it to actually be part of a process where you're claiming responsibility for it as well? So as much as it can be regulated, I don't think it will ever be perfectly regulated. The client needs to take responsibility as well. I think that's part of it.
That's right. Now, I mean, on the thing about it resonating well, what you said about resonating well before, there's also this imagery aspect, the clairvoyant aspect. I mean, I know for a fact that I was burnt in a fire only because I keep having this memory, right, of looking through the flames at those who have obviously dragged me there and put me in the fire. And they're all thinking that I'm in absolute agony. And I'm standing there going, I'm not feeling a single damn thing as my body's burning, because it's true, because all your nerve endings will all be burnt away.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember it.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. So you'll have these glimpses of past life memory even when you're not in front of someone who's doing that type of work. And usually someone who does the past life regression might be someone who's doing hypnotherapy with you, where they're just assisting you on the journey, right? They assist you on the journey. They don't just go, you were Cleopatra in a past life. You know, they don't just say that. They're actually assisting you and you're being part of that journey. And it's the same as, like I was saying before, when the others couldn't hear me, I have that with being buried alive. You know, we were moving a septic in the backyard and there was a hole in the backyard and I was hyperventilating because all I spent was that time seeing myself clawing out of the hole, you know, a hole in my lifetime. And you know, I was talking to my partner about burial versus cremation. I'm like, you've got to cremate me. I don't want to be buried alive again. You know, and it's not true. But I know it's true. You know what I mean? So that type of recollection is way more powerful than you saying, okay, you tell me who I was in a past life and I'm going to believe you.
Here's one for you, Maria. What about the experiences or the memories or the thoughts of being off-world on another world? How do we explain that? And the other question is, do we really need to know what our past lives are? I mean, is it? Do you feel it's any benefit to us to actually have past lives?
I think it will come up at the right time, Matthew, when you need to. Now, I was saying before, when I was breaking up a bit, about Atlantis, the Atlantis Oracle, but I've had those visions my whole life, right? I absolutely have had them my whole life. When I was out on the cruise this year, I had massive anxiety. I was panicking. And when I came back, I was in hospital with influenza A, asthma attack, nearly had a cardiac arrest and nearly died within a matter of a few days from that cruise. So, and then after that, I came home and I spent a lot of time on the crystal bed. Immediately, I started seeing the next part of the crystal bed, but I needed to be taken to that place. And I think, I really believe, sometimes the past life memory will come up and be accessed at the right time. And even if you look at my lifeline in palmistry, it's about the time now is when I usually exit my lifetimes, right? This is usually about now is when I choose to die, okay? So I sort of went there like you did with the pancreatic problem, right? I sort of went there, but and sometimes I went, as you said, like it was like a shamanic journey out the door, went there, you know, and then went, okay, I choose to stay this time, and I brought all this information back, and the information I brought back was really powerful. So sometimes the past life will, it's not like, yes, you did a past life regression a couple of weeks prior, but you would have been intuitive to do that, to access something that then triggered something in your body. Because I truly believe, and people have got to be very wary, because you can go into a healing crisis, because the body is releasing a cellular memory from your past life. And it's going to change.
Of course
it's going to change the way you are.
Of course it is. That's what the bulk of nervous breakdowns are and depression are. I mean, you're dealing, your mind, I'm breaking it down, the DNA, right, deals with, for anyone listening who's trying to work out the process or doesn't know the process, the DNA is linked to a central part of our being that has full control of everything that we will ever be, everything that we have been, is all going on at the same time. So you've got to cut the time thing out and realize that, say you've got 10 lives, as far as the soul is concerned, that central part is concerned, they are not past lives. They are concurrent lives. They're all simultaneous lives. They're all going on at the same time. Our mind, our consciousness is dealing with all that shite, is the best way of putting it, at the same time. So when you've got your mind completely linked into self, you're having to deal with all those issues as well as this particular life.
Yeah, and you know what, I can tell you, from someone who is a, you know, call healer, I don't have time, I feel like I'm going to a bout of depression. And I can honestly say, nothing has triggered it. I'm not in a bad relationship. I'm not in any sort of crisis. It's not a post-traumatic depression. You know, I've studied psychotherapy, but I'm not. There's no particular wounding that's coming up. And I sit there, and when I get to that point, I go, isn't this interesting? This is coming up in me again, right? And I ask the question, is this now? Is this me? Well, is this me, A? And sometimes I'll get the answer back, going, no, it's actually not even yours. It's something else. Is this in this lifetime? And the answer comes back sometimes, no, it's not of this lifetime. So we need to explore the. That's why I don't like calling it past life. I rather call it dimensional life, because like
well,
a dream.
Right.
When
I it's all simultaneous.
It's all happening
together. Yeah. And what people don't realize is that when it comes to reincarnating, right? Okay, we're in 2014 now. Here's a concept that people will not be able to accept or know it. It's possible that your next life might be 1542, or it might be 360 BC. It doesn't mean that because you're born in 2014 now, that you are going to go forward into, say, 2070. It's quite possible that you go back and you actually have an incarnation in the Second World War as your next incarnation.
Yeah, or the soul has already split into that incarnation in different times and of different planetary systems. And like Lily, she's on your blog talk questions there, and she's talking about being a young child and, you know, she had this connection with Egypt. What's to say that might have been a past life coming through, or maybe an aspect of her soul was actually experiencing that at the time?
Yeah, but let's say it's actually going on simultaneously now, at the same time as she's in this life now.
Yes, and that's right. And this is so, I question, a lot of people come to someone like myself when they've been to the psychologist for 10 years, or they've been through every medical route, or they've been through a lot of other things. And I always go, everything breaks down to energy, and let's look at everything beyond this lifetime, because especially a lot of people have done a lot of emotional work, or they've done a lot of their baggage clearing, and they sort of go, I'm still stuck. I'm still not well. I'm still, experiencing crisis, what's going on? So when you've ticked all those other boxes and you think, well, you know, really this person is in their power, you've got to go there. And what I'm finding, especially in the last 12 months, that, because as I said, I do a lot of work with other healers as well, but in the last 12 months, I'd say that every single healing I've done has had a powerful element to it.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just going to just do some quick shout-outs, Maria. I'm getting so captivated and enchanted by our conversation that I'm not doing my usual little bits on the show. I just want to say hi to Alan. Alan Tiller is actually listening to us at this moment in time. Anybody who's watched the Haunted Australia, Haunted Australia.
Yep.
Alan is the guy with the long hair. He is the Aussie on the show. He's one awesome dude. Hi, Alan. Thanks for listening to the radio. I want to say hi to Chris, to Doreen, to Kim, and obviously to Lily as well. So thank you guys for listening to the show. It is the Matthew James Medium 1.5 hour show. We have lost Reem Barrett of technical difficulties with Blog Talk. She's been unable to obviously log in onto the switchboard, but I do have the fantastic miracle worker Maria Alita. And can I just at this point, Maria, just thank you again for that crystal bed that you crystal map that you sent me a year ago.
Do you know what? The crystal bed, Matt, can I say, is one of the most miraculous things that was ever invented. And not because it's my mat. I didn't invent it. I actually had a dowsing expert. I said to her, look, people have such an amazing experience with the bed. Can you make something that's portable that they can take home, that I can put crystals in from the bed, that's attuned to the crystal bed, that they can, that people from all around the world can have the experience? And she went away, and she was a dowsing expert, but a seamstress as well. She went away and she created this mat. And then she put a patent on it as well because she believed in them. This is my friend is Lydia. And since we did that many years ago, it's like these crystal bed mats, I get the same response from everybody. They're just amazing, and it really even shocks me that I hear that same response back. I had someone visit the Miracle Studio yesterday telling me that they were with a friend and their friend just bought a crystal bed mat, and she's not really into crystals or anything like that, but she does her own sort of Reiki healing. So she decided to use the mat have a healing on it. She fell asleep for 2 hours immediately and was the most rested she'd been in a very long time, and she was in a stressful situation. But I get to hear that. So, Matthew, thank you for bringing it up. But I just, all I can say is, like, again, it's just something that's come through that's needed to be here. And I can't take all the credit for it because someone else has created them, but, you know, on behalf of me. So, yeah, wonderful.
I'm laughing because I can remember when I was in the hospital ward, and you've got to picture the scene. You know how small those cubicles are when you've got visitors. You've got the bed, you've got the chair, and there's not a lot of room, right? Well, I had your mat in my cupboard behind my chair. Everybody that sat down in the chair or came in within about 2 meters of that crystal mat were falling asleep, including the nurses.
Yeah, because of what it does, it attunes you. The first time you're near it, you actually, most people, and this is the number one response I get, is the first time I did a meditation on it or lay on it or was near it, I fell asleep. It, like, knocks you out. And a lot of people use it as a sleeping tool as well, so they might be getting restless sleep or they're snoring and things like that, and they use it for that. So plus the healing, a lot of healers, hundreds of healers have them, and they use it because it's portable and they can basically have a crystal grid wherever they want without, you know, lugging heaps of crystals. So, but yeah, it's to me, again, like we're talking about past lives and reincarnation, all that, you know, I did not access all this information until I went through a nervous breakdown at the age of 30. I had, prior to that, I had everything, you know, a princess would kind of want. I had wonderful husband, 3 kids, all children in private school, loads of money, had a mansion, had like holiday home on an island, first class holidays, all those material things. Plus, you know, I had a wonderful kind of relationship. But what happened when I was 30, it sort of, everything went sour, and I found out, you know, my husband was having a double life, and my life was not what I thought it was. And I had a nervous breakdown. When I had that breakdown, and as many of you out there would know, it can become your greatest breakthrough. And for me, and I'm very honest about this, and I write about it in my book, The Miracle, I chose not to be medicated. Now, by saying that, I'm not saying if you're going through a breakdown, don't be medicated. If you're going through depression, don't be medicated. For me, I chose not to be. But it was really important I didn't, because I knew that I needed to go through the process. I needed to be the caterpillar in the cocoon going through its metamorphosis, and I needed to have no numbing to get through. And that was just me personally. And so I'd gone from being, you know, a marketing manager in corporate, raising three children, being the director of a company, to having a breakdown, losing everything, and seeing this crystal bed and seeing all of this weird stuff and seeing electricity coming out of my hand and having visions and seeing, you know, slides and all this kind of stuff. And they and my family really wanted to put me in the nut house, because that's what you do with people like us. Hey, Matthew.
That's right. Roundabout, probably I would have probably been about 30 myself. I had a nervous breakdown. I went through all the trauma, the huge trauma of a nervous breakdown. I locked myself in a small box room for ages. But I chose to actually have the medication. But I came out that strong, and that understanding of spirituality. I started studying psychology. I started studying counselling. I was then appealing to other people who had had the same sort of nervous breakdown as I had. And that's really where all this kick-started. So I'm really grateful that I had actually gone through that mill that you'd gone through as well. And it's interesting that we'd both gone on different paths, but very similar paths.
Yeah, and look, and around that time, say 29 or 31, or 28 to about 31, that's when Saturn return happens as well. So for a lot of people, it can be a very trying time, and it can basically put you in a position where you have to understand your belief systems, and you might have to throw all your belief systems out to create the truth of your life. And that's what happened for me. And I believe, you know, what was happening, it wasn't like all of a sudden you had an interest in stuff like me. It was like everything that I had interest in when I was very young that was knocked out of me, all of it came flooding back. Like literally, Lily was talking about about the Egyptian thing. It's sort of like sometimes you might, when you're a child, have this fascination, and all of a sudden something traumatic happens, like a nervous breakdown or an accident or a health ailment, and all of a sudden it triggers it again. And I remember knowing, and I could, it was like I physically, it was like an aspect of my soul, like it was like the person I thought I was died, because I had I tried to kill myself. So, but a miracle experience happened in that time, so I was stopped from killing myself. But at the same time, I believe I did die. And what came through from being saved and having the miracle experience was for me like the aspect of my soul that's my truth, came in and then blessed me. As that came in and the other one exited, it blessed me with all this knowledge that I know now. So I had a thirst, just like you, Matthew, to research and to gain knowledge and wisdom. But at the end of the day, it was just me remembering what I already knew. I think that's what all of us.
On that, let's just change the subject ever so slightly, right? And people who know Maria Alita know that her pet subject is Atlantis. I just want to just throw something into the mix about Atlantis, Maria. Have you ever come across the conquering of the 16 fears, or the 16 fears of Atlantis?
No, but I think you have maybe brought it up before, but please do say it again.
Well, the idea is that the concept is that there are 16 basic fears that we can experience on the earth plane, but they can be subcategorized into 1,200, 1,500, 2,000 fears on the earth plane. I mean, you've got the fear. I'm thinking of one. You've got the fear, for example, of betrayal. It could be fear of betrayal by father, mother, work colleagues. It can be fear of betrayal by religion, fear of betrayal. That it's still the same. It's the fear of betrayal, right? You've got 16 basic blueprints that you come onto the planet to experience, whether in one lifetime or 20 lifetimes, however many. The idea is that you overcome those basic fears, those fears. The Atlantean belief was that you came down with 16 fears, you went through your life as long as it took or as quick as it takes. Once you've conquered those basic fears, you then be able to step past the dweller on the threshold. You're able to then bring your true incarnate self in, your higher aspect, and become the being that you are supposed to be on the planet. You then go out and you teach people of love. You teach people about unconditional love and forgiveness. And that was what it was all about, being on the earth plane. That's the basics of the 16 fears of Atlantis.
And that makes absolute sense, because it's a, like when you stand in your power and when you go through, you know, the tough times, because I think people have got this real, I'm going to say the word blame, I blame all that, you know, American New Agey, hoo-ha, rah-rah, let's be happy all the time kind of crap. You know, we have a human life where we're going to experience many different things, and to pretend that we just have to be happy all the time or be grateful all the time, it's just not the way it is, okay? Because life happens, and life happens for a reason and on purpose, and some of it isn't so nice. So we can't pretend that, you know, someone's hurt me and betrayed me and it's okay, I just must love them. Like, I understand that concept, but I really have to pray and I have to learn what that human perspective and then bring in the soul aspect. So for a lot of us, we have to go through some big bloody lessons, don't we? You know, before we can get to there. And then by doing that and honouring it and surrendering the stuff that I always say, the stuff that I can't work out or is beyond me, I just surrender it. Because I just, you know, some of it, there are some people that, you know, I truly believe in forgiveness, but I truly believe sometimes there are some elements on the human platform that my human mind, and I'm not going to say my soul, but my human mind can't comprehend forgiveness, say. So, but what I do in that moment is I go, okay, my human mind's having a real big issue with this, so I'm just going to surrender that process right now, and I'm going to leave it up to the surrender gods or whoever it is to go and help me to step through that process. And I'm okay, I can't do it all now. These experiences, and as you said, these, you know, this platform of 16 here are all perfect. And you know what? I bet you not a lot of it is going to be, you know, happy, love and light, joyful. Many of it's going to all be in a process of help getting us to stand strong and stand in our power. And that comes with some very big experiences in our lifetime. Because I truly believe, Matthew, you have to earn the right to do this work.
Correct. You do. And I mean, I was going to introduce the further concept to the 16 fears. And I was just going to actually say to people that, I mean, it's all about recognizing what your biggest or your deepest fears are. And I mean, I'm putting together an idea of workshops and seminars about the deepest fears. And I'm actually going to call it a world of fears, because it is a world of fears. And I know I've recognized my two biggest fears. I've overcome one. I overcame one at the beginning of last year, which was the fear of dying. Now, that is one of the biggest things that people have to face, the fear of dying, right? And that is one of the things that holds so many people back, because this is what religions are based around. This is what a lot of fear-based experiences on the earth plane is all about. It's all about, I've got to do this and I've got to do this. Oh, this is the only lifetime. How fear-based is that? So that is the fear of dying. The other one that I have big problems with is the fear of pain, needles, having headaches. It's a huge fear. This is the one where the Buddhists overcome. This is I believe the fear of pain is the final fear. That's the final fear. You think about trying to overcome fear or not being frightened of pain. I mean, this fear of fear itself as well. That's one of the first fears that I think we have to come to terms with. That the idea is that if you're fearful of something, if you're fearful of a fear, you are going to experience that fear because you feel it, you're feeding it energy, and you're feeding it and you're making it grow and you draw it to you. The idea is not to be fearless. Whatever you are feeling fearful of, don't be fearful of it, and that fear will go away, or that issue will go away. That's the basics of the Atlantean. It's the law of cause and effect, and effectively the Atlantean. Believe that this is a virtual reality that we're in. It's to do with the second fall. The first fall was where we were dragged into a computer system, and then the second fall was where we've come into this. And the idea is that this is a fear-based world. Our experience is about fear, but that's all it is. It's a computer-generated world that is run around fear-based reactions. Fear-based reactions is where we react. When something we encounter something, we react. That's fear-based. When something we encounter something and we step back, we take a few breaths, and then we act, that isn't fear-based.
Yeah, and I think people don't realise, many people, I mean, probably people listening to this show probably do, right? But most of the people on the planet don't realise we are born into a system that does not even exist. You know, we are offered a name and a certificate of birth. It's not even real. We become part of a system that is against our sovereign rights, against our godly rights, and we get caught up into it just by default. You know, and people don't understand that we're playing part in a system, and that system is run by our governments, our leaders, our bankers, the monetary system, everything. And it's all about, you know, keeping us held in this. I mean, what would happen if what would happen if we didn't have to worry about a mortgage and worry about, getting in trouble, I suppose, for not paying your taxes and all this kind of stuff? What if we lived in a world that we just knew immediately in karmic energy, and we knew we just wanted to have the best for the world and the best for each other? You wouldn't need to have a system based on fear to keep everyone conformed. So people, do your research, Google straw man, Google belief, go down that trail and find out who actually runs that system and why they run that system. You know, and a lot of people think people like David Icke are absolutely crazy, but what if, because I know
David Icke is crazy.
I love David Icke, but a lot of people think he's crazy because he says things that their human mind can't comprehend. But what if I just said to you, what if you only took on 10% of what he said? It would still blow your mind. Do you know what I mean?
Correct.
So this is, again, like, I totally get this concept of we are in this fear-based society, and then usually the people who we have the most confrontation with are the people who not only hold on to a lot of fear, but projects that fear onto another person. So when they're not getting their own way, or they're not understanding who they are or confident in who they are, what they're doing is they project that onto other people, and then all of a sudden, not only have you got your fear, you're holding on to their fear.
Because we're effectively at the, sorry, Maria, we were effectively at the bottom of a pyramid where it is a fear-based world. We are we were divided and ruled. We are controlled. I mean, the biggest fear mechanism is money. That is the biggest thing on this planet. That is the biggest fear. The fear of starvation, the fear of famine. It goes back to the basic reptilian part of the brain. There is a complex in the brain that is reptilian, And it is based on the survival game. It's where you get the millionaire who keeps on accumulating money because he's frightened of his money supply going down. That is this idea of the hunter-gatherer who puts all the stock into the cave and then is frightened that they're going to run out of food and they're going to starve. That is a primal basic fear. That is what we are controlled by, that basic primal fear of survival. And they've got us there. They've got us hook, line and sinker with money.
Yeah, and because most people don't see beyond that. They are so hooked into it. And look, I know someone close to me recently is going through a bankruptcy, losing everything, blah, blah, blah. And I contacted this person and I said, it's only money. Your fear right now is the connection to the title that you once had, the millions that you had, the houses that you had, the cars that you had, but all of it is an illusion. The monetary thing, whether it's, you know, 3.6 million in a bank account or zero, it's just numbers in a computer system. Some people may say to me, well, you know, how can you say that? Because I've had it all. I had the millions of dollars. I had the luxury cars. I had all of that lifestyle. And the only thing that is for me, and yes, I've got pretty holidays, and yes, I've got some nice shoes and some nice handbags, but I look at that lifestyle now, and all it did was magnify how empty I was. It magnified that I felt soulless in the middle of it, because back then I was part of the system and I was in it, but from like the top end, and I was so disconnected from people. It actually made me disconnect from the people, the everyday people who were just not even struggling, not even suffering, just going through life. I totally disconnected because I had a false sense of reality of what life was. So money for me, I mean, I truly believe that we have our own abilities to manifest and be comfortable and all that kind of stuff because we are caught up in the system. But money for me will magnify your fears as well. It will magnify the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we continue to do that because it's not, you know, when we die, we don't get buried with our bank account, do we? So really, when the soul it has no purpose.
That's right.
So don't you believe
I'm going to have to cut in at this point, Maria, because we're down to the last 10 minutes. And I've got a fade out song that's probably about 3.5 minutes left. So we've got about 5 minutes. Hasn't the show gone quickly, everybody?
Oh, it has. But you know, you and me, we can talk for ages. And next time, you know, hopefully we'll have more people on who we can keep on the show, and we'll get that conference call going, hey?
I was PMing Mike Davis. I was PMing the founder of Blog Talk of Spirit FM on Facebook before, and it's not happened before. There's never been a problem before with him actually Skyping in. So it's got to be an issue with Blog Talk, and I say quote unquote again. So it is just Blog Talk, and it is just bandwidth. It is not the norm. So it's just unfortunate. But to say we've got about 4 or 5 minutes left, Maria. It's always awesome to have you on the show. Like you say, we could have a 10-hour show and just keep talking.
Yeah, look, I think we've got very few similar views, and you could. And the one thing is, as I said, have a lot of connections with people in our industry and people who've been doing this for a long time, like yourself. And the stories, because I love hearing everyone's stories as much as you love hearing stories. And the story of where people were, what was the pinnacle moment that changed everything, and what was the thing that actually steered them onto their path. Now, for a lot of people, that doesn't mean that it means that it brings in millions of dollars and they become a Hay House author and they, you know, they've got their own TV show. For most of us, it doesn't mean that. For most of us, it means that we just make this commitment to living this way, to being this way, and whatever that journey comes with that is perfect and ideal. So I think, you know, it's why I think we get on and, you know, a lot of people come and go as well, and there are a lot of fakers that come and go. but you do connect to people who you know have a real passion for sharing what they, you know, what your truth is. And I think that's what I always love about doing shows like this and being on your show, because I can be me and I don't have to be edited. And that's awesome, especially when I've been on mainstream stuff.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's lovely for you being you, Emmy. This is the thing about having you on the show. There's no airs and graces, and you say it as it is. This is why we always have quite candid conversations on the radio. And I know for a fact that you'll be coming on future shows. I mean, I don't even have to ask you. I know that you'll come on future shows.
Yeah. Now, and thanks for that, Matthew.
I'm going to have to bump you off at this stage because I've got a bit of advertising and a little bit of fade-out music to do. So it was lovely to talk to you, Maria. Apologies
Thank
to everybody
you,
out there. It was awesome having you, Maria.
Thank you, Matthew. And hopefully I'll get to be on the show again when Maureen's on and we'll have a listen to her as well.
Yeah, we'll get it sorted. So bye for now, Maria.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, so this is the Matthew James Medium Show, the Matthew James Medium 1.5 hour show. It's been a little bit disjointed this evening. It's been a little bit of trial and error with the Skype. My apologies to Reen. You weren't able to get back onto the show. My apologies to everyone out there who couldn't hear the first part of the show. They could hear me, but they couldn't hear the ladies. There has been some issues. It will be ironed out before the next show, because the next show is the big one. I have got Hollywood actor, author, spiritual pathfinder Rick Mora. He is the star of the film Twilight. He will be on the show this Saturday. It is 6 o'clock till, no, it's 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock till 5. I'm getting mixed up with time zones here. It's 3 o'clock till 5 o'clock Sydney time here in Australia. That is on the Saturday. It's actually 8 o'clock till 10 o'clock time on the Friday evening, which is in California. I will have Rick Mora on. He will be talking with me about his fantastic book, The Codex of Awakening. We will be talking about shamanism. We will be talking about power animals, totem animals. We'll be talking about a whole host of things. We'll be talking about music. And it is a two-hour show. It's a two-hour show. I will have ironed out the means of getting Rick onto the show. He most likely will. I will have to sit back and let Rick talk. I don't mind. I can fold my arms and I will enjoy the show with everybody. So I'm going to thank everybody at this point for listening to the Matthew James Medium Show this evening. For anyone interested in more information about myself, please go over to www.matthewjamesmedium.com. Distance is no object as far as personal consultations are concerned. I am a medium, clairvoyant, intuitive counselor, medical intuitive, numerologist. I've got a whole heap of titles. Basically, I am just a mystic, a shamanic mystic. That's the best way of describing me. Until the next show, thank you so much for listening. I'm going to go out with quite an apt song. It's called Love Conquers All, and it is by Deep Purple. And thank you everybody for listening. Don't forget to tune into the next show. It's going to be phenomenal. Bye for now.
Shooting in through the dark. Who will I? Thanks for tuning in to Matthew James Medium. You can contact Matthew anytime by logging on to www.matthewjamesmedium.com. Until next week, goodbye.